Christ, the bread of life.
Brethren, what a wonderful privilege we have in this day. As a poet has said, we're dwelling in a grand and awful time. And an age on age is telling, to be living is sublime. Heart the rumbling in the nations, iron crumbling with the clay. Hark what sound it, 'tis creation groaning for a better day. And how thankful we are that the theme of this convention is Christ in Him crucified. And the center of our hope is all based upon that wonderful Son of God and His great sacrifice. As our hymn says so beautifully, in the cross of Christ I glory, tying all the wreck of time, all the light of sacred story, gather round its head sublime. And so by divine grace and mercy, we have these wonderful pages of the Bible. And the center theme is about our Lord Jesus. And you remember our Lord said to the Jews, if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me. He wrote in about me, John 5:46. And so we'll endeavor to consider the sixth chapter of John. And in that chapter, the reason I have selected it is because it is so beautiful in connection with all the divine plan and purpose of God, and also an indication of the day in which you and I live. First of all, it's the first section of the sixth chapter of John. Incidentally, John, the Gospel of John, brings out points of interest that are not indicated in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and brings up points that they omit. And so in this account, the story of our Lord Jesus is brought out so beautifully. And the great message of John is the Son of God. But in the 13th chapter and to the end of John, there is a more detailed message to the saints. But the previous chapters is more or less to recognize to those hearers that heard him that he was the Son of God. And this was hard for the Jewish mind to believe. They said, you're mad. You're out of your mind. But how marvelous it is that God hides the truth to people who have no faith. He hides it. But to those who have a spark of faith, it is revealing. And as we notice in the Bible is also written to hide the truth as well as to reveal. And that may seem paradoxical, but it is true. To those who have a desire for righteousness, for honesty and truth, the Bible is revealed step by step. But let us go on. There's so much in here that I cannot cover it all, but we'll try in brief account of what is happening. Let us picture before us the scenario at that time. John the Baptist was murdered. And you know, there was quite a group of disciples that followed John the Baptist. And so, when John was murdered, many of those began to follow our Lord Jesus. John was actually pointing to our Lord Jesus. And so, they began to follow him. And, of course, the life of Jesus is so important, and he knew what was going on. Our Lord Jesus knew the circumstances. As a matter of fact, wherever he went, he knew the thoughts of men.
a perfect human being. Isn't that remarkable? He knew the thoughts of men. Wherever, for instance, in the account of Matthew, where Matthew invited, made a feast for our Lord Jesus, he knew the scribes and Pharisees were there, and some of those who followed John the Baptist. He knew what they were thinking. And so our Lord Jesus knew the thoughts of men. And so here they were gathered together. They were around that Sea of Galilee. Jesus escaped the area in which he was. He didn't escape, but by that I mean he left the area because of the conditions. They were seeking his love. And so he came up to Galilee. And there, on the mountainside, were a group of people. And they were listening to Jesus, listening to the message that he had. And you know, whenever he did speak, he spoke about the kingdom of God. He spoke about the divine arrangements for the salvation of the world, about the kingdom of God. And this time, as they entered the area on the mountainside, there were 5,000 people that followed him. Now, isn't that something? 5,000 people. He became very popular, our Lord Jesus. And the scribes and Pharisees and the leaders of the nation of Israel were scheming a way and a method of, to get rid of him. And our Lord Jesus knew that. And incidentally, friends, he knew the day in which he would die. Did you ever think, oh, I'm glad I don't know the day when I'm to die. If I knew today, I would worry my head off. Isn't it true? But we don't know. We don't know when we're to die, and it's a blessing. But our Lord Jesus knew the day and hour in which he was to die. And think of the courage and the faithfulness of our Master. He was to do the Father's will. How contrary was Satan? Remember Satan? I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14th chapter. Remember the number of I's there? Our Lord Jesus is just the opposite. Lo, it is written in the volume of the book, to do thy will, O God. What a beautiful character. Can't you admire that person, our Lord Jesus? Oh, such a beautiful character. Follow me, Jesus. Learn of me and follow me. And so this is our endeavor. And this is our great joy, is to follow our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We didn't have to join anybody, do we? Join our Lord Jesus. Incidentally, in one of the volumes, it is written this way. Let us remember that our transformation of character is not just saying, Lord, Lord, or having a Bible in one's possession, or joining an organization called a church, but joining Christ. Beautiful. And so our message is not about our group, but by our Lord Jesus and him crucified, and the glorious message of restitution to all the families of the earth. It is strange from a human standpoint that some of our people, the people of this world, cannot penetrate the truth. We're not saying this in a boastful way, but consider, brother, when this world, look what's going on in this world. And some of the people are not aware of it, what's going on. But you and I are aware. We know the day in which we live. Brethren, remember Paul says in Thessalonians, you're children of the light, not of the darkness. Children of darkness, unaware, under unbelief. Of course the Lord permits that, he knows that. And so, how blessed we are. But let us go on to our story. Not our story, but our Lord Jesus. And so, it is evening. 5,000 people. And Jesus said to Philip, that is, how are we going to feed them? Philip wanted to, how are we going to feed this? It was crowd. It's evening. And they said that there was a young boy there that had some loaves and fishes, that is, he had bread and some more fishes. And so Jesus knew what he was going to do, and so they brought that to him, and he gave thanks to the Heavenly Father for the bread, fishes, and he fed the 5,000. Now, how did he do that? Do you remember the count? He said he gave the food to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. They were arranged in groups in 50s and 100s and so forth. What a beautiful picture that is. Isn't that a little bit of a picture that the church, the body of Christ, will be feeders of the world of mankind, the bread of life? How wonderful that is. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world, shall bring blessings to all the families of the earth? Already Jesus is showing a beautiful pictures of what is going to happen. Another thing, I marvel, brother, at the wisdom of our Heavenly Father, so tremendous I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Here, our Lord Jesus is performing miracles, and at the same time, it illustrates something greater to come. And I marvel also in the Old Testament, all the types and shadows. Here, Adam condemned, the human family is condemned. But out of that family, there comes an individual like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who have been faith in God, and in their conduct of life, they illustrate something greater to come. What a wisdom our Heavenly Father has. And so our Lord Jesus fed the 5,000. And do you know what happened after that? The people wanted to make him king. They wanted to make him king. Does the Lord Jesus agree with that? No. He escaped. He avoided that. And there's reason for that. I've often thought, brother, the apostles were with them, with our Lord Jesus. Remember, the 12 were with him. Judas was there. Now, it is not written, I'm just surmising. Judas might have thought, here's Jesus, they want to make him a king, and he doesn't want it. Huh? And some questions might have appeared in his mind. I wonder, is he the Messiah? They want to make him a king, and he doesn't want it. You see, little doubts could come in, begin to come in. And, the outcome of the Judas, as a matter of fact, Jesus knew that. He knew that. As a matter of fact, the end of the chapter, the sixth chapter, he mentions that Judas was of the devil. He knew the character. He knew what was going through the minds of the people. But that's just a little point I wanted to bring out. And so they wanted to make him king. And so our Lord avoided it. He knew his mission. He was to lay down his life. He was to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And so he avoided it. And he went to the mountaintop, to the sides of the mountain. I've never been there. Some friends might have been there. But anyway, he went to the mountaintop to be alone. But before he did that, he said to the disciples, as a matter of fact, in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, it mentions that Jesus constrained the disciples, constrained them to get into the boat and go across the lake. He constrained, he urged them to go across the lake to the other side. And Jesus went out to the mount. And of course, there's 5,000 scattered,
and probably some of them slept on the mountainside over the night. This is the second part of the sixth chapter. Jesus was in the mount on the hillside praying to the Heavenly Father. The apostles were in the boat, running into the boat, and going across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. What happened? You recall? A storm came. The waves were great, lashing against the boat, so that they were fearful. They were troubled as they tried to row across that boat. Now, our Lord Jesus was up on the mountainside, praying. Did he see them down on the ocean? I mean, on the lake? Yes, he saw them. He knew all about that. He knew the storm. He knew the condition. What did he do? He came down from the mountain and went down to the ocean, the sea. The question is, when did our Lord Jesus come down? Remember, it was an evening. All night he was praying. When did our Lord Jesus come down to the Sea of Galilee to help the apostles in the boat? It is not given in John's Gospel, but it is given in Matthew, the 14th chapter, and if I remember correctly, the 25th verse. It was the fourth watch. Now, brethren, when is the fourth watch? The first watch. When does the new day, the Jewish day, begin? Six in the evening.
Yeah.
All right. From 6 in the evening to 9 o'clock, 3 hours, is the first watch. From 9 to midnight, 12 o'clock, is the second watch. From 12 to 3 o'clock is the third watch. From 3 to 6 in the morning is the fourth watch. And our Lord Jesus mentioned that. You remember? 13th chapter of Mark. Let's read it. It's most fascinating. Mark, the 13th chapter. Towards the end of the chapter. This, our Lord Jesus, encouraging the disciples and talking to them, and in the 32nd verse of the 13th chapter of Mark, this is what our Lord said. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. Oh, what a beautiful text for the Trinity. Did you ever think of that? Jesus was God. Notice again. Not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son knows, but the Father. If Jesus was God, he would know, wouldn't he? But he doesn't. He's the Son of God. Huh? Now notice. Really, these scriptures are so full of meaning. Neither the Son, but the Father.
Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Now here's the 4 points. Notice these words. Evening, at even, or midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning. These are the 4 watches. Oh, the next verse. Was coming soon, I find you asleep. The 4 watches. Now, brethren, Jesus came down from the mount in the 4th watch. That was in the morning. And the storm. One writer suggested it is about 8 miles to go across the Sea of Galilee. And for all those hours, from the evening to the morning, they only got halfway. About 3.5 miles or 4 miles. Can you imagine the storm? Can you imagine how they were rowing, rowing and struggling? And Jesus came down, walking on the water. They were frightened, you know. They were alarmed. Peter says, Jesus said to his eye. Peter, you remember, he wanted to walk on the water. He wanted to come to him. So he let him do that. What happened to Peter? He began to sink. So what did our Lord Jesus do? Pick him up, brought him in the boat. This is a beautiful picture of our day. You remember Psalm 46, Father? God shall help her, the church, and that night early. You and I are riding in the boat of faith. And where are we? In the 4th watch, before the morning. Before the morning. I got to recognize that, before the morning. And incidentally, one of the volumes, Brother Russell has a comment on that. 46 Psalm, 15, so I don't know the page in the volume now. But he says, before the millennial morning, I was thinking of that Psalm 49:14. Like sheep laid in the grave, death feeds on them. But the roaches shall have dominion of them in the morning. Weeping endures for night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so here we are, brethren. You and I are rowing a boat, aren't we? Is it stormy? It sure is. And brethren, remember what Jesus said in regard to the time of the end. Remember, the sea and the waves roaring. The time is coming, and it's here already. You can see the masses of people roaring, aren't they? The waves are not little waves, but waves of discontent and disappointment of the masses of people. There is a song about the mountains. I think it's still a 46 Psalm. Let's read that and we see if there are a lot of waves there. A sea. 46 Psalm. Oh yes, the 46 Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, This is written for the Lord's people.
Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea.
That's not literal. That's symbolic. The sea is the masses of people. And you know the sea is never quiet, is it? Always in motion. And so the Adamic family, ever since, from Adam down to the present time, the sea is have been having waves of troubles and problems. But at the end, the storm is so great, and the waves are reaching so high, it'll bring down the mountains of these kingdoms of this world. And so you and I, brethren, are living in that time. It seems to me we are living before the morning. And let us read on. There's a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the high. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And incidentally, it's the third volume, page 230, that the comment is on this verse. Third volume, page 230. And so, brethren, here we are. The sea, the waves of the sea are becoming higher and higher. Greater discontent among the masses of people. Out in the East Coast, you know, unemployment is so great. They let up a little bit, but again, the waves will come higher and higher. So, brethren, just a little thought in the sixth chapter of John. How these pictures, the truth is really hidden. You have to search for it. You have to compare scripture with scripture. And so here we are. Let us hold on to our faith, brethren. Even though the storm is all around us, and you and I are rowing our boat, aren't we? Doing the best we can, and God shall help her. And brethren, when we start to think about it, what are we as compared to the masses of people? One here, one there. Surely God will help them. God knows that. And then Psalm 23, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, comforting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will sustain us. He will bring us into the boat and hold us there. But there's something else, brother. What happened? After Peter was brought into the boat, what happened? The storm quieted. And there's something else, brother. Immediately, the boat got to the shore. Here they were rowing all night, and they got about halfway. And the moment Jesus got into the boat, they went right to the shore. What does that indicate to us? Oh, how beautiful. And the church is complete. When the bride of Christ is complete, there's no need of waiting any longer. We'll come to the shore of God's promises. He maketh the storm a calm. He maketh the storm a calm. And the blessings will flow to all the families of the earth. Oh, brethren, such a wonderful Heavenly Father indicating what is happening. And so, brethren, I'm fascinated with what Jesus said. He said, the four watches, you remember, 13th chapter of Mark? Lest coming suddenly, I find you asleep. Is it possible that you and I can be asleep? I noticed that, brother, in the scriptures. Awake. Paul mentioned that towards the end of the age. Oh, the 13th 13th chapter of Romans. Let's read that. There's something about that. 13th chapter of Romans. A beautiful words of the Apostle Paul. 13th chapter. Towards the end of the chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Now, you see, Jesus said, lest I find you asleep, coming suddenly, I find you asleep. And look what Paul says, 11th verse, 13th chapter. That knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. Is it possible that the Lord's people, some could be asleep? Yes, brother. Yeah. The troubles of life, the trials of life, whatever businesses we might be in, take up our time. Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't earn a living. I'm not talking about that. What I'm thinking of, brother, our thoughts and minds could be so absorbed with our troubles and our problems that we entirely forget about the Lord. Huh? It is high time to awake. Huh? And so, how beautiful it is. The night is far spent. Isn't that true? 6,000 years. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day? The millennial day is at hand. Huh? The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of, and let us put on the armor of light. No wonder the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves as the manner of some is, but so much more as ye see the day approaching. And you know, I think most of us have found out that we sleep the heaviest in the morning. Huh? Isn't that true? In the morning. And so let us awake out of sleep. Let us be alert. Run with patience the race set before us, looking unto, as that scripture, which is looking unto Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith. And so let us walk honestly, as in the day. Huh? As if we're walking in the millennial day. Not in doubting and drunkenness. Can we be drunk? Oh, sure. I'm not talking about alcohol, liquors. That's not the issue. We can drink with the spirit of this world. Huh? The spirit of acquisition. The spirit of hatred. The spirit of disappointment. Huh? It's all around us. Let us not be drunk. And what is it to us? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of thereof. We're battling the old Adam. Huh? Old Adam wants earthly things. If I had $1 million, I'd be all set. I'm just using that as an illustration. But it's empty, empty, empty. Psalm 49. Let's talk about a man. What's man? I just couldn't help but think of that. Psalm 49. Brothers, the time has gone by. But nevertheless, 39. I keep forgetting that. 39. Chapter 39. This is about man. Verses 4, 5, and 6. Lord, make us to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth,
and my age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walks in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up treasures, riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. That's the condition of man, huh? There's so much more, brethren, but nevertheless, let us continue to press on, brother. Despite the waves of human passion around us, we're still rowing a boat, but nevertheless, you know, we could be fearful. They were fearful. Huh? And when we look at the waves of this world, we could be fearful. And incidentally, the introduction of the law covenant to the children of Israel, you remember? Thunder, voices. And what does it say about Moses? He quaked. He was fearful. Huh? And so the introduction of the new covenant to the world of mankind will be brought about by a great time of distress and perplexity. And so I close with one verse. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, brother, 1:13. Wherefore, put on, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember, before the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, they had to gird themselves, huh? Get ready for a journey. But Paul said, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all we can do. Lord bless you, brethren. Give you strength to fight the good fight of faith. And look upward. Look to the glorious outcome of the great plan of God. You remember Joseph, when he made himself known, were the brethren surprised. There's coming a greater surprise to the Jewish people when they recognize the Messiah. They shall mourn for him as their only son. Rejoice, brethren. Thank you.